We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, The Killing of the Demon Putana. Let's read text number 9. Tam tikshna chitam mativam acheshtitam. Vikshantara kosha parichada sivat. Varastriyam tat prabhaya chadarshite nirikshamane janani hyatishtatam. Okay, tam, that, putana rakshasi. Okay, tikshna chitam, having, having a very fierce heart for killing the child. Ativam acheshtitam, although she was trying to treat the child better than a mother. Viksha Antara, seeing her within the room. Kosha Parichada Asivat, like a sharp sword within a soft sheet. Varastriyam, the very beautiful woman. Tat Prabhaya, by her influence. Cha, also. Darshita, being overwhelmed. Nirikshamane, were seeing. Janani, the two mothers. He, indeed. Atishtatam, they remain silent without prohibiting. Translation on purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai. Putana Rakshasi's heart was fierce and cruel, but she looked like a very affectionate mother. Thus, she resembled a sharp sword in a soft sheet. Although seeing her within the room, Yashoda and Rohini, overwhelmed by her beauty, did not stop her, but remained silent because she treated the child like a mother. Purport. Although Putana was an outsider, and although she personified fierce death because the determination within her heart was to kill the child, when she directly came and placed the child on her lap to offer the child her breast to suck, the mothers were so captivated by her beauty that they did not prohibit her. Sometimes a beautiful woman is dangerous because everyone, being captivated by external beauty, Maya Mohita, is unable to understand what is in her mind. Those who are captivated by the beauty of the external energy are called Maya Mohita. Mohitam nabijanti mam ebya param avyayam. Nate vidu Bhagavad Gita 7:13. Nate vidu svartagatim hi Vishnu durashaya ye bahir artamanina. Bhagavatam 7:5:31. Here, of course, the two mothers, Rohini and Yashoda, were not Maya Mohita, deluded by the external energy, but to develop the pastimes of the Lord, they were captivated by Yoga Maya. Such Maya Moha is the action of Yoga Maya. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, has a list of demons Lord Krishna killed in Vrindavan, and he explains how they represent main obstacles facing the aspiring devotee. And if these demons are killed in the various ways they manifest in our lives, then we can make some progress in spiritual life. Sometimes they are demons, and sometimes they are even devotees who have a bad day. like Indra, who has a really bad day when he tries to kill all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Anyway. So each of them represents some obstacle. So Putana represents which obstacle? False guru. Okay, very good. We have Shastri committee here.
No, we are just getting this several days. So.
Okay. Oh, okay, so maybe we'll hear the same thing again. I'm sorry. Anyway. So Putana represents the false guru. So this false guru is... There's two ways in which the false guru appears. One is the actual false guru, the so-called guru, who preaches two things, sense gratification or liberation. So, and there is a book by His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, and he's putting all these things there in the book. So many things I just took from the book, and that's it. So he says that in some cases, this might be even a person in Krishna, in some sort of Krishna consciousness. So it's like, it's not that their false gurus are only outside, they are non-devotees. Sometimes there are some mixed devotees also, some sort of devotees. This is a very important point. We'll discuss later. And the second manifestation of the false guru is the spiritual, inner spiritual guide, who actually means the material mind. So we can have false gurus outside, and we can have a false guru inside our crazy mind. So that's important. So Krishna is killing this demon, this Putana demon, to protect the Krishna consciousness which appears in his heart. There's some references, probably you heard about what Putana was in her past life. There's some references, there's two references. We'll just skip that. So there's one article Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj writes in the Harmonist about Putana. And it's quite instructive. He gives quite interesting insights, you know. Like, and he says, first he talks about Kamsa. What's Kamsa's position? Because all these demons that are trying to kill Krishna, they are more or less under the guidance of Kamsa. Kamsa is the head demon, and all these other demons are the sub-demons. So he explains that Kamsa is the materialist, you know, like it's empirical thinking. And the position of Kamsa is that he's always looking that there is no truth coming out. he's very careful that there is no real spiritual movement coming up. Kamsa is very... So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that actually this way of empirical thinking is very, very dangerous. And it's not doing something different than killing actually spiritual life. So Kamsa has like more or less two features. One is that he likes to suppress the truth very fast, and he has this intrinsic hate for spirituality. Sometimes and also in his mind, there's no clear distinction between material and spiritual. So Kamsa is very eager. Okay, some truth coming up. Bam, let's kill it. And what's interesting is that Kamsa also uses shastras. So Kamsa is quite shastric, and he might use shastras, but of course, I mean, nowadays they are not using so much shastras anymore, at least in the West. They are using more or less like scientific research, you know, which is... But also they are using, there's a lot of so-called spiritual movements. You know, there's quite a lot. And we'll go back to this and we'll see what's the effects of these so-called spiritual movements. So anyway, so Kamsa really likes the scriptures, and he thinks that this word twisting is the most important part of the scripture. Like this, Srila Prabhupada gives the example when he was vice president of India, and he wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, and when Krishna says, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I think the other verse where it says, think of me. It says, no, it's actually not of Krishna that you have to think. You have to think of this in the unmanifested whatever in inside Krishna. So, anyway, Kamsa really likes this kind of interpretations. It's like, oh, this is good. This is my friend. And he's very careful for the real things. He's not just he's not sending his children to the Gurukul and says, he can decide later if he wants to be a devotee or a non-devotee. No problem. No, he's like, okay. So Kamsa more or less, he thinks that atheism can be successful, and if it wasn't successful in the past, it was that they didn't pay enough attention, you know, like, and as soon as some spiritual movement comes, you have to kill it, you know, like, immediately. That's interesting, because Putana is the first demon Krishna kills. There's quite some list, and the first time when Krishna is born, immediately Putana comes. So this is representative of how as soon as the child is born, he gets into the hands of false gurus who teach him this thing, that thing, you know, like sense gratification and liberation mostly. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj talks about how these pseudo teachers of religion, that's what they do actually. They teach something which sounds like religion, but it's not, you know, like. So this is a main feature of Putana, is that she looks like very she looks like a well-wisher. She's like this beautiful woman, and when the inhabitants of Vrindavan see Putana coming, they're like, oh, this lady, she must have come from the planets of the demigods just to greet Krishna. And she comes in, and everyone is like, oh, yeah, this nice woman. Of course, she has good intentions. You know, like. And then, as explained here, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they're like, yeah, sure, come in. Just do whatever you want. I'm sure you're bona fide. So she looks really, good, you know, like. And sometimes you can see that also many so-called spiritual teachings, they sound very good, you know, like they sound bona fide, you know, like they sound, it sounds okay, you know, like, and but it's not, you know, like, what's the purpose? Because Putana is she's doing all these nice things, but what's her purpose? Her purpose is to poison Krishna. So she's there's nice cover. Like Prabhupada says, it's a sword in a nice sheet. You know, like the cover is very nice, but there's the sword inside, and the purpose is. So she's and eventually, after Krishna kills her, she reveals her real face, which is like this huge demon body. I will see later in the text. So yeah, that's how you can see also these pseudo teachings. They're more or less same thing. You know, like they are really nice. You know, like people are so positive and so on. Yes, amazing. But you know what are they trying to do? Are they trying to surrender to Krishna, or are they trying to kill Krishna, become Krishna, something? So, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he criticizes more or less a lot of this spiritual organization, because he says it's actually materialism. There's nothing spiritual inside. So, this is very dangerous, because in Shish Upanishad, it says that those who engage in culture of nescient activities, shall enter into the darkest region of ignorance. That's first part. And then she says, worse still are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge. He said that these people who don't follow spiritual life, this is really bad. But worse than this is people who are so-called following spiritual life, who are propagating false spiritual life. This is worse than that, than not. Because this is very, very practical case. You go on the street and you saw someone, these is books, spiritual books. And what do they say? I mean, some say, oh, this, oh, I don't care the spiritual books. Oh, no, not me. But other people, they say, oh, I have so many spiritual books at home. No? So many people you meet, oh, I have so many spiritual books. I have read so many spiritual books. And then you say, you cannot say, tell them, you know, like you can try, but usually you cannot tell them, look, this is real spiritual books, and what you read is just some nonsense. And or you can even, well, that's the truth, you know, like. you can even say, look, this is Bhagavad Gita, and they can say, oh, I read Bhagavad Gita, no problem. And like, okay, what Bhagavad Gita did you read? And then you find out that they read Bhagavad Gita from Swami whatever, who is teaching what he's teaching in this Bhagavad Gita. He's teaching sense gratification or liberation, you know, rarely liberation, some sort of sense gratification. So this kind of philosophy, it sounds really good, you know, like it can sound really good, you know, positive. what's interesting, more or less for most of these groups, they are good. Other spiritual groups are good. Everyone is good. And the most interesting thing is that in many cases, ISKCON is bad. No, I mean, I'm serious. I had we had this this group in Romania, and they were like followers of Srila Prabhupada somehow. This group from Hawaii that came apart from ISKCON. And they were like, I was living in the same city for some time, so we knew each other. I mean, I didn't talk to them too much. And their general attitude was they would cooperate with everyone. Like there was this Indian guy who was doing some yoga and teaching some Mayavada philosophy. And that it was all good, you know, like they were doing this yoga festival and he could come and do some yoga and teach some philosophy. And he was like more than welcome, you know, like. But ISKCON, not really. So actually, these so-called spiritual groups, their philosophy is that they are good, other spiritual groups are good, and you know, real spiritual knowledge, this is not so good. This, you know, like these ideas that you have to surrender to Krishna, this is bad. And actually, we are more or less the same. You know, like Srila Prabhupada said that their philosophy is that this is good, this is good. And our philosophy is that we are good and everyone else is bad. Because, I mean, from a real spiritual perspective, you can see that practically speaking, nobody is teaching real spiritual knowledge. So then, we are good and everyone else is bad. I mean, of course, you go in Sankirtan, you don't tell people like, oh, I'm doing this yoga. Oh, that's amazing. Oh, you look very spiritual. Oh, very good. Amazing. Yeah, you're doing. You can, you know, like, just, you can try these books also, read this also. No problem. But actually, what our philosophy is that this is just a waste of time. And yeah, so many of these deviations fall, even because in the beginning it was said that even false gurus can also be some sort of devotees. That's so there's many deviations who fall under this category. Like, there's this Ritvik deviation. We just came in contact with some group, like indirectly. We had our friend was going to some city and there was some group. And they said, we were following Srila Prabhupada. I said, wow, nice. And what else are you doing? Wow, we're distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Wow, that's amazing. And then he sent me a link to their website and said, yeah, what do you think? I was like, okay, let's see. You know, like you can do whatever you like, but if you ask, and I was just looking on their website. You know, it's even written there that we are basically an international society of Krishna consciousness. I was like, almost the claim that there is no ISKCON logo. You know, okay, why there's no ISKCON logo? And anyway, so I'm looking there and I see some sign, okay, some books which don't sound so bona fide, something. And then I checked with Jagannath Sutta Prabhu, who knows this organization. I thought he might know them. He confirmed. They are Ritvik. They are not ISKCON organization. So it sounds like same. What's this Ritvik philosophy? Their philosophy is that at some point, Srila Prabhupada, before departing, had some people who were initiating on his behalf. There were some devotees, and the idea was that after Srila Prabhupada's departure, these people would initiate, and these people would be Srila Prabhupada's direct disciple. And after some time, Prabhupada's departure, these people would initiate as disciples of Prabhupada, continuing Shri Guru Parampara. So, I mean, there's some philosophy there, and there's some letters. I mean, it's not very sound, but anyway. And the whole point is that now you can take initiation directly from Srila Prabhupada. Which sounds, I mean, it can sound all right if you don't know so much philosophy, if you don't know what Srila Prabhupada wants. But actually, it's not, because Srila Prabhupada, that's not what he wanted. And Srila Prabhupada also wanted that we follow the GBC, that one of these groups is the group from Hawaii. They study this in the ISKCON Disciples course. So there's a famous discussion. There was this group in Hawaii, and there was some GBC, and this group were like somehow apart because they came together. They came from a yoga group, and the whole yoga group came to ISKCON. And then somehow they didn't want to follow the authorities, the ISKCON authorities. And Prabhupada, they go to Prabhupada, and like Prabhupada says, "Oh, so you are my disciples? Yes. So you are fully surrendered? Yes, Prabhupada. And whatever I say, you will follow? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. So if I tell you to follow the GBC, will you do it?" They say, "No, Srila Prabhupada, this we cannot do." And Srila Prabhupada just puts his fist and like, just see the hypocrisy, and just kicks them out, you know, like, what's this? So the core anartha, what actually is there in this group, is that it's convenient, you know, that you have a guru you don't see, and he will never correct you, you know, like nobody tells you what to do. You know, like, who's your guru? Srila Prabhupada. I mean, probably he says some things, but I never hear him. So I can do whatever I like, no? That's what actually is behind. I don't have, my guru is not here. And this also can manifest, it's not just, there's Ritviks, official Ritviks. And there's in ISKCON, there's no Ritvix. No, this kind of behavior can manifest in many devotees, maybe also in us, that we are like, I don't follow anyone. You know, I've seen this. There was one devotee, one senior devotee in Romania. Anyway, and he was his spiritual master left the body before, and he didn't have any authority. Practically speaking, there was no one who could tell him that he's wrong. You know, like in some cases he was wrong. You know, so practically speaking, when you do that you have no authority. And I mean, sometimes he was accept some convenient authority, and then it's like, no, this I don't like him anymore. Then move to another and another and another. So when you do that, what you're saying is that you are the authority. You know, like if there's no one to tell you what to do, then this means you are accepting your mind, and you are accepting some false guru. If you're not accepting a real guru, then you're accepting your mind or some false guru. So you're following Putana. So that's the point, and this. So these people actually who don't have any authority, then there is only two choices left. You know, like, do you follow the real authority, the real guru? No. Okay. Then there's only these two choices left. So, that's just to point that sometimes devotees have a spiritual master which is as far away as them from them as possible. And even when they see him, they don't ask him anything. Not God. God forbid he might tell me what to do. So, it can be gross. And then the devotees around him, there's no one more advanced than him that could tell him what to do. So then it's more or less, you know, like you're your own guru. You're the next acharya. So this is this can happen for many devotees. I mean, I've seen this happening, you know, like, and everyone was telling this devotee, look, there's this Ritvik philosophy. And she was like, what Ritviks? There are no Ritviks in Romania. Okay. So yeah, anyway. So the point is that to protect ourselves from these false gurus, we need, probably there's more things, but one thing is it's really good to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And also it's really good to associate with devotees who can correct us. It's sometimes it does. It can be seniors, but sometimes, sometimes it can be also devotees on equal level who just, you know, like see more objectively, you know, like because some deviations, some other our friends might see them, you know, like they could say, "Look, Prabhu, what's this? Come on." So that's two things that. Can keep us in on track, you know, that we take real shelter of real guru, and that we have some authority who can correct us, some friends, and we read Srila Prabhupada's books, that we know, because in this case, like this devotee wrote me, and I had this feeling, there's something fishy with these guys. This is not his call. And then I checked and I confirmed, you know, like, so it's always good that you have someone you can consult and like, look, is this all right? No, this. But with time, you should develop this common sense, this sense, you know, like that. You hear something, it's like, this doesn't sound right. Because it's not what I heard in the books, you know, like. And you should develop this thing, you know, like this feeling. Okay. And of course, this is in our lives. We should kill putana, and also we should help others kill putana. You know, like, that's why we do so much Harinam Sankirtan, and we distribute the books, because if people read the books and they are sincere, then they will see, oh, this sounds different. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that in the end of this article that even Kamsa is thinking that there is no way people could accept real religion, but somehow or other some people they get in contact with some little religious principles and they're like, that's it. I was searching for this. Exactly what I was searching for. You know, like. And so we should. Some people are. There are people who are like that. They are just waiting for some information. And they are. Oh, yeah, that's it. I was searching for this. And the Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj says that one of the features of the bona fide religion is that first thing. The bona fide religion kills is putana. So all these false religious movements, they are more or less killed. It's not killed, but they are more or less silenced. You know, like that. They're not. The bona fide teacher of the absolute heralds the advent of Krishna by his uncompromising campaign against the pseudo teachers of religion. So you can see that this in the lives of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, in the lives of Srila Prabhupada, they are not like our religion is good and their religion is also good. They are like this is bad and very, very hard on false religion. So we should also be like that and kill putana! Okay, I stop here. There's some questions, complaints, concerns. Okay, thank you so much. Gantala Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.